committee to order, and it is 5 minutes after eight. At the present time, I'm the only person here for the committee. Planes are late, and one person is on his way to make it here before we're done. We do have some presentations to be made today, so we're going to take the testimony, and we won't have to take any action on it. So even though I'm the only one here, it will be recorded, and we'll share that with all the members of the committee. So we will let you go ahead with your presentations today. And the first thing that we're going to have is the superintendent from Artist School District. Would you come forward?
Yes, thank you.
Okay.
Should I?
You may sit there. Give us your name and your affiliation, and then you can begin your comments.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
My
name is Norman Eck. I'm superintendent of Northwest Arctic Borough School District, and I'd like to briefly comment on two issues of importance to the Northwest Arctic Borough School District. Specifically, I'd like to address some of the findings in Judge Gleason's most recent decision regarding the Moore case and Alaska's appropriation of the federal stimulus money. First, on the Moore case, I'd like to address five requirements set forth in Judge Gleason's recent decision in the Moore case as they impact the Department of Education and Early Development's plans related to district intervention, and they have a direct impact on our school district. Number one, district intervention plans must include attention to the content subjects that are not tested in the state's standardized testing. And this directive by the judge is welcome news. The narrow focus of the department's intervention plan on language arts and math has been disruptive to our district. This intensive focus has turned teaching and learning these subjects into an unpleasant task. Under this new requirement, we anticipate that with the department's assistance, we will improve student learning by including more of the content subjects that we have already worked so hard to align to state standards. Number two, the intervention plans to date have not addressed the strengths and weaknesses of each chronically underperforming district. We worked for a year and a half with John Holst, a coach assigned to our district by the department. As he became familiar with our improvement efforts, he recognized that we were making every effort to follow the department's directives. Furthermore, he realized that the department's recommendations for improvement failed to include our input. We're frequently off the mark and at times a hindrance to our progress. I have several months of his written reports to verify this point. Judge Gleason recognized the value in identifying and building on the talent and strength within our school district to design and implement an intervention program that will help make us needed gains. The decision to allow us to be part of the solution has created new opportunities to work collaboratively with the department to craft lasting solutions. Number three, pre-kindergarten education and other intensive early learning initiatives need to be addressed. Our district needs an early childhood program taught by certified teachers using a standards-based curriculum, and that program needs to be fully funded by the state. It is, in my opinion, the single most important action the state can take to help us improve student achievement. A quote from John Holst's testimony in the hearing last fall says it all. The majority of the students who come to school in all five of these districts are coming to school with deficits of 1 to 2, and in some cases 3 years in language development, to the detriment of their being able to perform. We clearly understand the root cause of low student achievement, and we must provide additional resources to intervention districts to address it. We need to give special attention to this matter that can only be provided by state-funded program. Number four, teaching capacity must be addressed as teacher inexperience and unique educational challenges must be considered if student achievement is to be attained. The state needs a vastly different approach here. Regardless of efforts by the universities to improve teacher education programs and significant improvements in teacher living and working conditions in rural districts, educator turnover remains high. I recommend three specific actions to address this need. The Department of Education and the legislature should support local initiatives to increase the number of regional residential high schools throughout the state. The evidence is clear that the few we have are far more successful than small rural high schools. Schools that have critical mass and a controlled environment enjoy high levels of student success. Let's move forward on this. Additional state resources should be directed toward developing our technology infrastructure to improve distance delivery of basic courses to students. Distance delivery is the most cost-effective and efficient method of improving instructional delivery. We cannot rely solely on the private sector and federal E-rate subsidies to get this job done. Education courses such as response to intervention, formative assessment, classroom management for classrooms with high numbers of intensive needs students should be included in our state's teacher education programs. And number five, the Department of Education needs to assess and improve its own capacity to intervene effectively. Judge Gleason said that no evidence was presented that the department has undertaken any effort to assess its capacity to determine what it would require to effectively assist districts and schools to provide students with a constitutionally adequate education. In my opinion, the department is presently unable to provide the intervention assistance our district requires. Although recent communications with the department indicate a high level of commitment and willingness to work cooperatively with us, I believe it lacks the capability and capacity to provide the level of support that we need. I recommend that the department contract with a company that has the experience and expertise to provide an independent evaluation of its ability to assess intervention districts. Finally, in regard to Judge Gleason's decision and the state's intervention, I must say that in my opinion, the two best ways to improve our scores would be to, one, fund the above-referenced preschool program, and two, fund over and above our regular funding formula two school psychologists, three reading specialists, three language learning specialists, and 11 school village liaisons in our district for the next 5 years. If you fund those two things, we'll show results that we can all be proud of.
Thank you for your testimony. We have some time. Is there anyone else that want to speak to this same topic that's in the room? Do you have any things that you'd like to add to what was said, and do you agree pretty much with the information we just read off? Don't all of you speak at the same time? But we do have some other presentation, but I do want to say this. You do have an opportunity to speak at this point, and I appreciate you coming forward. And you did give us written testimony. We'll see that the rest of the members get this information.
Thank you. I do have a little comment, short comment on the stimulus money. Unless
yes.
You don't want to hear that, that's fine.
No, I was going to bring that up as something that we could talk about later.
Fine.
But yeah, you'll be able to say that at that time, okay?
Oh, thank you very much.
Okay. Who's going to speak for Best Beginning? Sue Hall, are you here? Oh, there you are. Would you come forward, please?
Mark Lackey from Head Start is also online to answer any questions that might come up. Sue knows that he's there.
Okay, thanks.
Mark Lackey's
on. Have a seat, please.
Okay. And how do I?
You don't have to do anything.
Make it?
Oh, I'm not able to help you with that, but can somebody show her what she needs to do?
Do you want to go ahead and give her a hand?
I can do it. Except I want to use PowerPoint. Yeah. I'm looking for PowerPoint.
If she just gets to my computer, right click on my computer,
everybody in the room, are you some school board members here as well as superintendents?
Right click.
Both of you meeting at the same time?
She's a PowerPoint.
Uh-huh.
Okay, right there. There you go.
Thank you. Oh, FR.
There you go.
Can I just do this?
Okay.
Okay. Thank you.
All right.
Well, Senator Davis, I appreciate the opportunity to come and speak on behalf of Best Beginnings. Abby Hensley.
Can we have order, please?
Abby Hensley.
If you have cell phones, would you please cut them off?
Abby Hensley, our executive director, isn't able to be here, and so she asked me to present. And I have just a few things to run through, and I believe you have a copy, and there are copies available for the rest of the committee members. I also have some additional copies for anyone else who would like them. I will be quick. I just have three areas that we'll be talking about. What we know, just a real brief slice of what we know about early childhood, Best Beginnings update, and then our 2009 legislative request. What we know, I wanted to start with this because I think it's the critical foundation. We know that brain development begins early, and that as you can see, that period, this is newborn, the second slide is 2 years, then 4 years, then 6 years, and it's obvious that the creation of new synapses in the brain, a big chunk of that activity occurs in the very, very early years. And I think that's critical because sometimes when we think about early childhood, we think about four-year-old programs, and I think this slide helps us move a little bit beyond that. Also, what we know is that families matter most, that they are the most influential figures in a child's life, and they certainly set the pattern for things that come later. And the longitudinal research that showed the greatest gains for children were those that really worked with families. They were about family intervention more really than more traditional pre-K programs. Children are different, families are different, communities are different, especially in Alaska. There's a broad range of needs, so whatever solutions we craft should meet that and address that diversity. We also know that we have a fragile early care system in our state, and I believe it exists elsewhere. And that's a concern to us because whatever we do in the area of early childhood shouldn't undermine the existing care system. For example, you know, if we focus just on four-year-old programs, what happens to preschool programs that presently are able to spread the cost of their program over, you know, for the highly expensive infants and toddlers to the four-year-olds that are less expensive to handle? And if those four-year-olds were put into a more public system, what will happen to the early care before that? So we have to be careful about how we respond to the challenges in early childhood that way. We know that local control works best, that where local people are involved in the decision-making, they're better able to meet the needs of local people. And also that programs must be high quality. The research is pretty clear about that, that you can't just do anything. Sometimes I hear people say, well, for every dollar you invest in early childhood, you get, you know, fill-in-the-blank gains. Well, if you invest your dollars in stupid things, you don't get those kinds of gains. So you have to do the right things. What has happened in Alaska? I don't need to tell you about this, Senator Davis. I know you know, but just as a quick overview, there was Ready to Read, Ready to Learn a few years back. Then Best Beginnings was formed as a public-private partnership, originally under the auspices of the Alaska Humanities Forum, but now under the Anchorage United Way. Significant private funds were contributed from ConocoPhillips, the Siri Foundation, BP, and other private sources. Best Beginnings has formed multiple work groups. Literally hundreds of people have come together in the last few years to discuss early childhood and what solutions might work best for Alaska. Then there was the Governor's Summit on Early Childhood with about 500 participants. Then we received a Smart Start Technical Assistance Grant, which I mention here because it's kind of key to our work going forward. And then the Education Summit that was held recently had an early childhood component to it. Some people still ask this question, what is best beginnings? In fact, at the school board meetings of the last couple of days, we had plenty of folks saying, but I still don't understand, what is best beginnings? So I thought this slide might be appropriate. Best Beginnings is a public-private partnership that mobilizes people and resources to ensure Alaska children begin school ready to succeed. The model that we're using is has been used in other states quite successfully, some of them for as long as 15, 18 years, so it's not necessarily a new way to go about looking at the issues of early childhood. Best Beginnings is governed by the Early Learning Council, a group of business and community leaders, including two commissioners, the Health and Social Services and the Department of Education. And it is the only all-sector statewide entity focused solely on early development. And we call it Alaska's Early Childhood Initiative, so you'll often see that subtitle along with the Best Beginnings. And what has Best Beginnings accomplished? Well, this list could go on for many slides, but I tried to shrink it into one slide with four kind of key points, but there are multiple projects that have been, that for which Best Beginnings has been responsible. They have convened a wide array of Alaskans, as I said, literally hundreds of people, in various work groups to make recommendations for Alaska's early learning system, involving care providers and school districts and parents and business leaders and lots of different folks to talk about early childhood. Best Beginnings developed under contract the quality rating and improvement system that we believe could be key in the future. Conducted a public media campaign, both radio and television, and funded local statewide projects such as Imagination Library, the Early Learning Guidelines activity guides in different languages, ABC Talk With Me, which was a program in Anchorage, and the Nuniak campaign and other such things. One of the projects that's supported in Fairbanks right now is the development of a family website called fairbanksfamilies.org that would be kind of one-stop shopping for families with activities and resources. And what's happening now? Well, this is the work that Best Beginnings is currently involved with, developing an early learning system based on Alaskan recommendations with assistance from Smart Start's Technical Assistance Center. The folks from the Technical Assistance Center work with a number of states, and they come here frequently and meet with the work groups and have tried not to guide the recommendations so that the recommendations are come from Alaskans and are suited to Alaska, but to offer their expertise in having developed similar systems in other states. We are working to coordinate the development of a statewide Imagination Library program. I believe you know about Imagination Library, but maybe just for those that are in the room, Imagination Library is an early literacy program run by the Dolly Parton Foundation, and we're affiliated with them, where for $30 a year, young children under the age of 5, so they can register at birth and will receive, be part of the program until their 5th birthday. And children registered for the program receive a brand new hardback book every month in the mail. And for families with 2 or 3 preschoolers, they can be receiving 3 different books. So it's for each child developmentally appropriate, board books for infants so they don't tear the pages, and, you know, more advanced books as you go along. And it's just such a cost-effective way. In Fairbanks, we began our program just a year ago, and we now serve 2,700 children, which, if you compare, Head Start serves 3,100, so it's just 400 children less than Head Start serves, and in just a year. Not that it compares to Head Start, but I just was putting in perspective those numbers. We were quite surprised at how quickly people signed up, and my hairdresser brings her book every week, every time I go, to show me the book that came that month. And people, if you want to do something people like and are happy about, Imagination Library is it. But Best Beginnings is working to coordinate a statewide program. They're convening a business summit this coming fall with the Partnership for America's Economic Success. They received a grant from this group, and also North Rim Bank, Providence Hospital, and the Alaska State Chamber. So you'll be hearing more about that as we get closer. And then also we've been participating in the development of the department's pre-K pilot. So here comes the important part. What are the next steps? The things that we think are key for the future is to field test the service delivery model, and I'll talk a little more about that after this slide, but to field test the service delivery model that's been developed using local partnerships to fund and coordinate local services to young children. Second, to field test the quality rating system, to expand Imagination Library to more communities, to encourage a variety of small, effective, efficient support activities, kind of to fertilize a number of activities to address the needs of young children. Again, children's needs are different, family needs are different, communities are different, and so to have a lot of different things going on. Think outside the box rather than just, you know, maybe a four-year-old program, to think of lots of other ways. And then to increase collaboration among service providers, state agencies, employers, school districts, and others. Again, to look at how we work together and how we can get beyond, from birth to five, to look at that whole spectrum and improving services to children wherever they are, be they in home care or child care settings or in preschool programs. And here are just a few of the providers in the arena. And this slide could, again, go on and on and on. But Head Start, the Pilot Pre-K, Child Care, Title I Preschools, Infant Learning Program, Parents as Teachers, Imagination Library, Private Preschools, Parent Co-ops, Parent Resource Centers, Play Groups, to bring all of these folks and have local groups take a look at what's needed in their community and draw on what they feel is most needed in their community. And it also could include health providers in other states where they use a similar model. The local partnership can say our kids need better access to dental care, for example, and the partnership could invest in that. Well, you can't see this very well, but the top oval says Best Beginnings, Alaska's Early Learning Initiative, and then a public-private partnership. Then the next oval is the Early Learning Council. That's the governing group. The Business Roundtable that will be formed after the Business Summit, and these topical work groups that have been meeting and will continue to meet. Then the next row are these local partnerships, that dollars would flow to local partnerships in local communities who would then distribute dollars and coordinate services among the various providers and possibilities within a community, if you will. And again, this is a model that has worked in a number of states, and it gives a lot of flexibility. The dollars for Best Beginnings would flow from both state sources as well as private sources, and there is work being done right now with both the Commissioner of Education and the Commissioner of Health and Social Services to look at how we can formalize, if need be, the relationship between state government and Best Beginnings. And then just kind of to sum up, the notion is to change the mindset, to strengthen families instead of just let's fix kids, you know, to serve kids where they are, not just get them into a program, but to serve kids where they are, to think broadly about early learning, to think from birth to five instead of just, you know, 3 and 4 year olds, to have more options and choices for families, to look at ways that we can give people access to a diversity of things rather than one size fits all or looking at a universal solution. And also to think about locals making the decisions, local partnerships, local people saying, what do we think our young children need most? And then to partner for success, to bring different groups together and different programs together to collaborate on the solutions and to seek long-term gains. Back to the research, there were three programs that showed long-term gains: the High School Perry Project, the Chicago Parent-Child Project, and Abecedarian from North Carolina. And they tracked those for 40 years and showed great gains for kids. there isn't, all of those three populations were significantly at risk, and And the focus for two of them, even though they were preschool programs, 3 and 4 year olds, preschool age programs, they were really family intervention programs, as the title of one suggests. The Chicago Parent Child Project was about families. It was about, you know, the moms and dads were in the program and there were home visits and there was lots of interaction back and forth. Abecedarian, on the other hand, the average entrance age was 4 months, not 4 years. And so the kinds of interventions that show long-term gains are not what we sometimes think about as just traditional pre-K. And so what Best Beginnings is trying to do is get us out to thinking more broadly about early learning in a variety of ways. Now, here's our legislative request. First, $200,000, which would be matching dollars. We would match those with dollars from private sources to expand Imagination Library to approximately 13,000 children statewide. That's an awful lot of bang for the buck. Second, $150,000 to field test the local partnerships because they're such a key component to the early learning system that's being developed. And then three, $50,000 for a public engagement campaign to help get the word out to everyone, not just parents, about not only the importance of early learning, but what are those activities and simple things that can be done to help young children develop. And we are hopeful that whether it's in the operating budget or the capital budget or the stimulus dollars, that we might be able to secure this sort of state funding. Okay, well, the last slide that you can't see just says, the future is a question that children will answer. And I think that sums it up. Our business is to help them be prepared to answer that question in ways that will be in the best interest of all of us. And with that, I'm finished.
All right. Thank you for your presentation. Mark Lackley is on the phone from Head Start. In case you have a question, anybody in the audience, or you, Sue, did you want him to
Hi, Mark.
Stay
in? He was here with us on Saturday to present to the School Boards Association.
Okay. Is there...
Hello?
Hello?
Good morning. My name is Mark Lackey. I'm speaking today on behalf of the Alaska Head Start Association. I did leave town early and made it back to Anchorage before the volcano kept me from doing so. So I apologize for not being there today. I just wanted to speak today primarily on Head Start. This last summer, the Alaska Head Start Association worked closely with the Department of Education to come up with a 2-year plan on what additional Head Start services could be provided in the state, what grantees felt like they had the capacity to serve children. And we presented that plan to DEED prior to this legislative session. The governor did propose an increase in Head Start funding in her budget. The House followed that recommendation, and I believe the Senate right now has increased that to $1.6 million of an increase for Head Start. That recommendation from the Senate side would certainly allow us to serve more children across the state. And so I guess the main thing that I want to say today is that I'm very encouraged and very excited about the emphasis that our state is putting on early childhood education. I think it's very important, and we've heard everybody that's testified this morning has said how important it is that we are investing in these children early. There's that critical window in early development where we can make an impact, I think. And so it is critical that we invest in early childhood. So we're excited about the emphasis is on early childhood. We do hope that increases for Head Start continue to happen. We have a huge waiting list, and these increases will allow us to serve more children. Having said that, I think that with this discussion on early childhood, there come additional challenges that we're going to have to figure out, and it's not that these challenges are overwhelming or can't be solved. It's just that we have not talked about early childhood, and as we start to do so, we'll have additional challenges to figure out. One of the big ones that's facing everybody right now is professional development. making sure that we have a qualified workforce, access, capacity within our university system, funding for these individuals to receive the training that they need. So that's one huge challenge. The other challenge I think that's out there is, you know, having a coordinated system that, that allows all these different providers and early childhood workers and systems to work together, to collaborate. We don't want to do anything in our state that causes competition for children or anything like that. We want to make sure that we're serving more children in whatever we offer. So I think that's very important. One other area of need that our association has come out in support of is Denali Kid Care. That impacts so many children and families in our state, and there's legislation pending right now to move that eligibility levels forward, which needs to be done. That's so important, and so we're hopeful that that will move forward as well. If there's any questions for me, I'd be glad to kind of address those. Any more details about Head Start, I can provide those as well.
Mark, at this time, I'm the only committee member that's present, and I don't have any questions per se of you. There's a couple of things that I would like to know. You talk about the field testing of the rating system and some other tests that you want to do. What was the total dollars on that?
On the field test for the rating system?
Mm-hmm.
I think originally they asked for just over $1 million, if I remember right. The department
I was thinking
did.
That, but
mm-hmm.
Okay. And then you said you wanted to field test some other rating system.
Yeah, field test the local partnerships. The diagram that was in the PowerPoint, you know, where the Best Beginnings mm-hmm. would give funds to local partnerships. For example, in Fairbanks, we have an Early Childhood Development Commission in the borough. And there are other configurations that other localities might want to use. And to have these local partnerships get some pilot dollars, if you will, to begin figuring out how to coordinate services and distribute those funds. So to field test that delivery system of local partnerships.
Okay, Senator Olson has joined us.
Thank you.
And we're discussing Best Beginnings at this time. She's through with her presentation. We're just taking questions at this time. You said you had 2,700 students just in Fairbanks in your Imaginarium program. Is that right?
Yeah, in Imaginarium.
Do you know how many statewide?
I don't know. I don't. There are programs that have been existing in about four communities, I believe, but it was small numbers of children other than Fairbanks is the largest. And Betty, it was quite amazing. We just started our program last March, and we went to the home show at the Carlson Center and thought we'd register some kids, and we registered 500 kids that weekend, and then 500 kids the couple of weeks later at the women's show at the Carlson Center, and, you know, then at the fair. And so it's really been astounding to us how quickly we've been able to register kids and get them on board. And of course, we were worried because we're getting private donations to fund those kids because the parents don't pay for it, you know. And Dolly's very clear about keeping the dollars separate from registering so that families don't think they have to pay for it. And but people have stepped up. It is a national project for the Kiwanis, for Rotary, for lots of our community service groups, and they knew what it was and have been willing to invest in it. It's a great program.
All right.
Madam Chair?
Yes.
How much federal funding do you, or what kind of federal participation do you have, either financial or otherwise?
I'm not aware of any federal funding that Best Beginnings has.
And no support from them with either paperwork or school curricula or any kind of curricula at all?
No,
so it's all
not that I'm aware of. Now, Abby may know something I don't, but mm-hmm. I haven't heard anyone talk about it. It's private dollars mostly to this point.
Thank
yeah.
you. Thank you, Madam Chairman.
Best Beginnings, as far as I know, has no federal funds, but yeah. just the partnership that you have with the state and the private funds is what you're operating on at this time.
Now, it certainly would meet the criteria, I believe, for some of the stimulus dollars, but to this point.
Yes, and that's what we want to leave this last few minutes to discuss. There was a question about the stimulus package. Glad that Senator Olson is all here, also here. He's on finance, and he might be able to shed more light on it than I can. But thank you for your presentation. We have about 20 more minutes, and there were some concerns about the stimulus package, and I know that all of you, many of you have sent letters saying they hope that we would take the money that's there for education out of the stimulus package, and I think that's not going to be a problem. I know that the House and the Senate is passing their resolutions, but also the governor has said that she's allowed her commissioners and all the departments to fill out the proper paperwork, applications, and things that they need to do for the funding. So it's not like we are not going to get some of that funding. They were saying no education money, all that Head Start money, all that. There's no way that we could turn that money down. So there's so many things that we could do with that. And for sure, we will be applying for that money. Was that your question? Yeah, and you might come up and ask the question that you had.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Again, this is Norman Eck from Northwest Arctic Borough School District. No, I just had a statement about the importance of the stimulus money, and I used this statement Thursday, I think it was, when we had the testimony with the House, was it the House Finance Committee? They had testimony, yeah, that's right, and so I used this there. But for us, the money is so valuable to be able to purchase materials for students who are academically performing below grade level. We can really enrich the curriculum for those students to provide proper interventions for them, as well as improve our technology infrastructure to be able to provide better distance delivery programs for our students, our regular ed students, but as well assistive and adaptive technology items for our special ed students across our district. We have 12 schools in 11 villages. Kotzebue is the hub, and there's no roads in between, you know, and so everything has to be flown in to our far, you know, schools. So this is very important to us. And it's great that it's one-time money, because we can use it for the long-range things that a lot of times you put off because you try to put a Band-Aid on something, put a Band-Aid on it. And with this, we can do some things that'll leap us forward. So I think the stimulus money is great in terms of that. That's what I want to say. Thank you so much.
Thank you. And we also have Eddie Deans in the audience. Do you want to add anything to the conversation? Did he leave?
Yeah.
Hello.
Okay. Just down the hall.
Well, if he comes back, we'll have him. Are there any other questions or statements on the stimulus package? I know that you're concerned also about the funding for the school, and you got the energy problems, transportation monies, and everybody's waiting to find out exactly what the total amount is going to be. I think probably you're probably going to come out pretty well. Do you have any indication on where we are on some of the energy things that we were talking about, maybe including the school district?
You're talking about energy in particular?
Uh-huh.
No, yes. There hasn't been any further movement on that except for consideration of, and people are aware of it. I know there was a power cost equalization. There was a push to try and get that there, as well as make them eligible for this fuel that's supposed to be much more affordable. And that was a bill put in by Senator Hoffman.
Yes, I understand. So, Washington?
Madam Chair.
Say your name, just for the record.
Yes, this is Norman Eck, Superintendent of Northwest Arctic Borough School District. In terms of energy costs, we had to purchase our fuel, you know, when it was at its height, at $145 a barrel. Last summer before freeze-up. So we're still paying those prices, fuel in the $13 a gallon for heating fuel and gasoline in some of our villages, for instance. And so our energy expenses this year are district-wide are about $1.5 million above last year. And there was the funding that came through at the end of the year to help with fuel costs from last year, which was wonderfully received by us. But this year, the problem is much greater. And so that, of course, is an additional $1.5 million that does not go to children in the classrooms. Thank you.
Now is your opportunity. If anybody have any comments they want to make? If not, we have nothing else to bring forward. We're going to adjourn the meeting. Okay, we'll close out at 8:45.